Open. Welcome back to Weekly Trek, a proud member of the Tricorder Transmissions podcast network. I am your host, Alex Perry.
What's today's date? The date.
Today's show was recorded on August 1st, 2020, and is current through Star Trek Picard Season 1, so beware of spoilers. All right, let's get into the show.
Good day, Voyager, and welcome to A Briefing with Neelix. It's a catchy title, isn't it?
Weekly Trek is a 30-minute news show covering the biggest stories from the Star Trek franchise. We are in a new golden age of Star Trek. There are 6 television shows in production, possibly more on the way, and enough merchandise to fill the Bajoran wormhole. So stick with me, and I'll help you sort the real facts from a lot of the Dominion propaganda that you'll find online. But I can't do this alone, and my guest this week is returning guest, Matt McClendon. Matt, welcome back to Weekly Trek.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
All right, Matt. Well, you know the drill from the last time you were here. I want to know something that's got you feeling good about Star Trek at the moment. What's got you moving at Warp 10?
Okay, well, look, we're a week away from Lower Deck starting, so it's sort of an obvious choice, but I'm just going to go with the obvious choice. That's the thing that I'm sort of most looking forward to this week. It feels a little bit like the right before Christmas, where if we were on next week, we would have a lot to talk about. But right. Instead, all we have is sort of the anticipation to talk about.
What do you think you're most looking forward to for Star Trek Lower Decks?
I like the idea of a more comedic take on Star Trek. Star Trek can be kind of dour sometimes. And I always, I like it when they, not that I have anything against, you know, like Deep Space Nine or whatever, which is my favorite of the shows, but it's nice when they lighten it up a little bit. So yep. I think it's going to be fun to see, you know, wacky adventures, wacky cartoon adventures.
Well, and even DS9 has some fabulous comedic episodes. I mean,
sure.
Take Me Out to the Holosuite, Bada Bing, Bada Bang, Our Man Bashir. You know, it boggles my mind some of the people who are saying, you know, oh, well, Star Trek's not a comedy, therefore this, you know, doesn't work for me. And it's like, what are you talking about? Did you not watch like a bunch of some of the most memorable episodes of that entire franchise?
Yeah.
Right? Trouble with Tribbles?
Sure. The old show, especially the original series, that show's wacky.
Totally.
You know, but people have sort of a weird memory of it, I guess.
Yes. An odd perception of what Star Trek should be rather than what it actually is or could be.
Well said, Alex. you know.
All right. Well, the thing I'm feeling good about Star Trek this week is also the fact that we are now just 1 week away from the premiere of Star Trek Lower Decks. In another world, it would have been the fact that Star Trek Las Vegas would be beginning this week. And the day that I'm recording were these normal times, I would probably be sitting on a plane right now out to Las Vegas. So feeling a bit bummed out about the fact that that is not happening, obviously due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we are about to start a whole new Star Trek show. And that is very, very exciting indeed. And by the time folks hear this episode, it will be only 3 days away from premiering. Which also coincidentally, the day of the premiere is my birthday. So thank you, CBS, for the happy birthday gift.
I was looking forward to Star Trek Las Vegas, too. I've never been, but I was going to go this year. The folks that I do Warped with and I, we were all going to go together. So kind of a bummer that didn't happen this year. But
well, here is hoping for potentially 2021.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, let's turn to the week's top stories.
There's a war going on, and I'm a reporter.
Black Alert! Star Trek Discovery Season 3 will premiere on Thursday, October the 15th, 2020. So after our disappointment in last week's episode that we didn't learn more about Discovery Season 3 at the virtual San Diego Comic-Con, we now have a confirmed release date for the new season. So we didn't get a second trailer yet for Season 3, but I'm sure we will soon. And we don't have long to wait at all until the show itself premieres. After Lower Deck Season 1 celebrates its season finale on October the 8th, we will roll right into Star Trek Discovery Season 3 the very next Thursday. So for those of you keeping score at home, that means we are standing on the precipice of 23 uninterrupted weeks of new Star Trek. Yes, CBS have confirmed that there will not be a break for the holidays for Star Trek Discovery Season 3, meaning we will get new episodes here in the US on Thanksgiving Day, on Christmas Eve, and New Year's Eve, with the season finale airing the first Thursday in January. Matt, are you ready for 23 uninterrupted weeks of new Star Trek?
Yeah, I'm ready for anything at this point. I'll take anything. Time has lost all meaning to me. So, you know, October could be tomorrow. I'm just ready for it whenever they decided to give it to me. So, yeah, I think that's great. I really liked season two of Discovery. I enjoyed season one, but it didn't thrill me as much maybe as it did some other people. But I really enjoyed season two, and it really felt like, okay, the show's kind of got their sea legs under them and they really know what they're doing now. So, and what little tiny things we've seen of season three, I think they've only shown us a little tiny bit that I've seen anyway, but it looks pretty good. I mean, it looks good to me. So I'm excited. And October is, you know, right around the corner, practically speaking.
What would you like to see from season three of Discovery? I mean, obviously, you know, they're moving very far into the future. We know it's going to be set. Right. It's the future at this point. You know, what are the kind of things you'd like to see from that?
What I would like to see from the show is I hope that they spend some more time this season developing some of the other characters. Mm-hmm. I still feel like a lot of the bridge crew don't really have a lot of like backstory or personalities yet. They did a little bit of a better job with that in season two, and I'm hoping they still dig into that some more in season three, because I think there's probably a lot of potential story there that doesn't necessarily have to be focused on like the main storyline of the season. So that's what I'd like to see. I think it's going to be very interesting just to see what they've decided to do with the future. You know, it seems like maybe the Federation doesn't exist anymore or doesn't exist in the same form that it used to. So I hope it's not some sort of like dystopian nightmare that they have to like Back to the Future 2 style, go back and like undo what went wrong. You know, I just hope that they don't do anything that's like so obvious that a dum-dum like me can figure it out in advance. I hope it's more surprising than that.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I mean, you said it, we really don't know a huge amount about what this new season's going to be. I mean, we've had the one trailer, which was broadcast at New York Comic Con last October, and that's really been it. I mean, there was a new-ish trailer this week in which CBS was celebrating the fact that they're going to be doing 23 straight weeks of Star Trek. And within it, there was maybe like 2.4 seconds of additional new footage of Discovery that we hadn't seen before. But yeah, it's still mostly shrouded in mystery, but it's a mystery that we're now only, you know, 11 weeks away from getting the answer to.
Yeah, they're being very hush-hush, which, you know, I could be... It's impossible to know what that portends, you know?
Right, uh-huh. Yeah, they were a little more free in season two. I mean, you know, in season two, within the first, like, month of filming, you'd already gotten a chance to see the Enterprise uniforms, and they'd shown a little bit of concept art. This one, yeah, we've gotten the trailer, and then there were a few props that were on display at the Star Trek cruise, but nothing that had not already been seen in the trailer, you know, like the new Federation flag, which has far fewer stars on it, and some of those funky hand weapons that we saw on being worn by the Cardassian and Lurian and you know, in that sort of shot. But yeah, there's a lot for us still to learn about this, and now it's not too far away.
I'm just thinking Warped is going to have to step it up, because we've got a lot more new content coming our way.
Yeah, you're about to have Lower Decks, and you're about to have Discovery Season 3, and you guys, you're in early TNG right now, if I recall correctly.
We are just about done with the first season of Next Generation.
Yeah, so, you know, regular episodes and the specials as well. Yeah, you guys are going to be busy for the next 6 months.
Well, I have nothing else to do right now, so it's fine.
Yeah. Well, while we get ready to celebrate the arrival of new Star Trek, we also have occasion to look back and celebrate the previous Star Trek shows in the last year, that being Star Trek Short Treks and Picard Season 1, thanks to the announcement of this year's Emmy nominations. Star Trek Short Treks has been nominated for Outstanding Short Form Comedy or Drama Series. Meanwhile, Star Trek Picard received a slew of technical nominations, including Outstanding Prosthetic Makeup, Outstanding Character Makeup, Outstanding Character Hairstyle, Outstanding Sound Editing, and Outstanding Sound Mixing. The winners of this year's Emmy Awards will be announced on September 20th. Matt, these nominations seem well-deserved for both Picard and Short Treks, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I absolutely agree. I want to know what Patrick Stewart has to do to get these people to give him an Emmy nomination, you know? Like, what more can the man give at this point? I just, you know, he's a national treasure. And I think that, you know, even if he didn't win, just if nothing else for a lifetime body of work.
Right.
You know, you'd think that they might have thrown him a bone, but maybe that's still coming down the line, you know, maybe in future seasons.
Right. Even if it's just a makeup Emmy nomination for the fact that they should have done it 30 years ago, you
right.
know, when The Next Generation was on the air. Yeah. I mean, the last few years, Star Trek has pushed pretty hard to kind of break into the Emmy categories around acting and best show. But, you know, so far, not a huge amount of luck there. I mean, they've obviously been very successful in those technical categories. But yeah, no love for Star Trek Picard this year either in the acting Emmys either.
It's just this historical thing where unless you're a big, huge, undeniable cultural force like Game of Thrones, for example, genre stuff just doesn't tend to get noticed for those kinds of things. And it's not fair, but everybody's got to be used to it by now.
Right.
I doubt Patrick Stewart is sitting at home crying into his book of sonnets because he didn't get an Emmy nomination this year.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you feel about the end of Star Trek Picard season one? I recall when we did our last episode together, the season was only about halfway through.
I really enjoyed the back half of that season. I thought it took a little while to get going. I thought that, you know, he doesn't leave Earth until, I forget, episode 3 or 4 or something like that. Felt like the season sort of took a little while to get ramped up, but I really enjoyed the back half of it. And I thought it ended really strongly. And it felt, again, it feels like sort of like with Discovery season one, with a lot of TV shows have iffy first seasons, you know.
Like I said,
we just are about to finish the first season of Next Generation. And that
That
is some rough going, that first season. But lots of TV shows are like that. It takes a while for shows to fall into their rhythm and to figure out the voices of the characters and all those kinds of things. So it took a little while to get going for me, but I was really happy with how it ended. And it seemed like it was setting itself up for a really good season two. So I was all in on that show by the end.
Yeah, me too. I thought the season finale was a little weak in places. Certainly, I thought the first half of the season finale was, you know, the weaker of the two episodes and one of the weakest of the season. But overall, I was really pleased with season one. And if you guys in LA could just get your COVID-19 outbreak under control, you know, maybe we could finally get around to getting a little season two.
Yeah, I don't know when they're ever going to do that or any show, you know?
Right.
We're not in the TV making business right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people are launching podcasts. Have you noticed? A lot of new podcasts out there.
Mm-hmm. There's not a lot else to do, I suppose. Well, if that wasn't enough to look forward to, Star Trek Picard Season 1 will be arriving on Blu-ray on October the 6th. The set will include a number of special features, deleted scenes, and a commentary for the series pilot Remembrance. The set will also include the final short trek that was not included on the Short Trek Blu-ray release, that's Children of Mars, which was the only short trek that tied in directly to Star Trek Picard. And for you Steelbook collectors, good news, the Picard Season 1 Blu-ray collection will also be available with Steelbook packaging. Matt, have you picked up any of the other Blu-ray releases from Star Trek?
I haven't, but I am not a big collector of things. This is something that is going to tie into our next story as well. But I do like audio commentaries. And when I was reading the list of the bonus features on this new Blu-ray set, I was a little kind of surprised / disappointed that there's just the one audio commentary for the first episode.
Yeah.
And it seemed like a real missed opportunity not to have Patrick Stewart and Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis do one for their episode, because that episode was pretty much, I think, everyone's highlight of the season, or one of them certainly.
Sure was mine.
And in fact, speaking of the Emmys, I thought there was a one in a million outside shot that Marina Sirtis might have slipped into like best guest appearance. I don't know if they promoted her for that or not, but obviously it didn't happen, but she's very good in that episode. And
extremely.
So it felt like a little bit disappointing that they didn't get the three of them together for the Blu-ray release, but people are busy. I don't know.
Yeah, that definitely is a little bit of a missed opportunity. Obviously, it's great to see, you know, that there will be a commentary for Remembrance, but the Discovery Season 2 collection had three commentaries, if I recall correctly. There was one for Brother, there was one for Light and Shadows, and there was one for the season finale, and you got different, you know, actors for each of them.
Yeah.
And that was cool because you got to hear different perspectives. I mean, Kurtzman was on a couple of them, but like Anson Mount was on one and Ethan Peck was on another. Yeah. So it would have been really nice to have gotten one for Nepenthe and had Frakes and Marina, you know, participate in doing that. And, you know, it also, I think it would have been nice to have gotten one for the season finale as well, to hear a bit more about the, you know, the, some of the decisions around why they, you know, chose to kill and then resurrect Picard, and some of the other choices that were made throughout that last episode would have been interesting to kind of get more of a perspective on.
I think I need to rewatch that season now that we're talking about it, because I did not go back and watch it again after it was over. I just pretty much watched it straight through the one time. And now that we're talking about it, I'm thinking like, yeah, I should go back and give the whole thing a rewatch. So maybe I will buy the Blu-ray. You may have talked me into it.
Well, there you go, CBS. That's another sale for you right there.
One more for CBS. You get a commission on any purchases made off of your podcast.
I mean, you know, I've been accused of being a CBS shill enough times that
they ought to pay you. Yeah,
that they ought to be paying me, but unfortunately, they're not. You know, I did go back and rewatch it actually about a month ago, you know, one of these quarantine things. So I was like, oh, you know, it's been a couple of months since I revisited Picard, you know, let me go back and rewatch it and see what I think about it. And actually, you know, the season I think holds up even better if you just watch it straight through rather than the week to week kind of treatment on.
Uh-huh.
This was somewhat true for Discovery as well, but I felt it most strongly for the 10 episodes of Picard season one, which is that even though the show is a weekly release, it feels to me that it much more is being built for a binging audience and not for the weekly release audience. And so some of the sort of taking each episode and for 7 days, just beating it up for 7 days and deconstructing it and taking it apart, it, you know, the show doesn't necessarily feel like it was designed to be approached that way. It was designed to be approached as a whole product that you're supposed to look at the full 10 episodes together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I definitely came away with sort of it did not change my feelings about the show as a whole, but I definitely did kind of get a different appreciation for it watching it all the way through than I did, you know, from the January 23rd through March the 26th run of the first season, seeing it week by week.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It seems so obvious looking at it, even then, that it was that it's all meant to be watched in a row. You know, it's just, it has the feel of a modern day binge show, not a once a week episodic thing. So they may have done themselves a little bit of a disservice, but you're probably right that watching them, if you watch them all in a row, it does sort of, it's easier to just sort of gloss over the things that don't quite work, or that
totally,
if things are a little slow, you know that they're going to pick up pretty right. soon mm-hmm. because you don't have to wait a week. To
exactly. Because it's the next hour. It's not, right. You're just going to rewatch this episode 4 times over the space of a week. I mean,
exactly.
You know, I mean, obviously I do that. I'm not saying lots of people do that, but I guess that's one of the interesting things about Lower Decks, right, is that's supposed to be much more of an episodic week by week show. At least, you know, that's what they sort of told us to expect. So it'll be interesting to see how that lands differently, also being a week by week release where you're getting these episodes that are a bit more self-contained. I wonder if that will, I mean, it's tough to do an apples to apples comparison because you're comparing comedy and drama and they're two very different and live action animation. So, you know, they are very different in that way, but it will be interesting to see if that has any impact on it.
Yeah, I am probably more interested in Lower Decks than I have been in, well, it's hard to say that because I was really into the idea of Patrick Stewart coming back. But Lower Decks is something brand new, which is going to be, it's just kind of fascinating to think about it. And just from like the things that I've seen on Twitter, certainly in terms of like the design and stuff, they seem like they're really nerdy Star Trek people yep. involved in this on some level, because I guess it's the Star Trek account or maybe it's the CBS account or somebody's posting pictures and saying, look, it's the same kind of glasses that
yep.
that Guinan had on 10 Forward. So like they're paying a lot of attention to like the details of the show, which makes me think that there's some real hardcore fans involved on some level at this, and it's going to be sort of a labor of love. So I just hope it's funny, you know. I just yeah, hope that right. it's not, it doesn't make you go, oh boy, they tried to be funny and they couldn't yeah. quite pull it off. It seems pretty funny. I mean, the trailer's funny.
The trailer's funny. That first clip that came out last week as part of the San Diego Comic-Con panel, that was pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, this is something we've been talking about over at TrekCore as it relates to reviewing the episodes. It's like humor is so subjective, right? One person's raucously funny moment is another person's total dud.
Sure.
But hopefully the comedy works for enough people, you know, that the show itself is a success just on the metrics of like how funny it is. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, boy. You're going to have a lot to talk about next week.
Oh, yes. And lastly, for fans of Star Trek, the original series and the show that started it all, the Wand Company have announced an exciting piece of merchandise this week, joining their previous releases of near-perfect replicas of the Star Trek communicator, which had Bluetooth functionality to allow you to make actual phone calls through your cell phone, and the Type 2 phaser, which doubled as a universal remote for your television. The Wand Company have announced that they are making an original series tricorder. The piece, which is expected to go on sale later this year and shipped to fans in 2021, will retail for about $250 and is expected to have a number of interactive features. The Wand Company's announcement is pretty vague about the exact functionality of the tricorder, but we expect it to have a number of features that would replicate the experience of owning an actual tricorder. To get on the company's mailing list for updates on the release of this fabulous looking product, head on over to thewandcompany.com to sign up. Matt, this is one impressive looking piece. Obviously, we don't know, sort of, they've not told us a massive amount about what the tricorder will actually do, but what would you like it to do in a perfect world?
Well, you know, that was what, I'm so glad you brought it up, because if I was going to, if you hadn't. Reading the article, I was sort of like, it looks extremely cool, but I couldn't quite figure out what exactly it was supposed to do. I guess it probably has a thermometer in it, I want to say. You know, it has some sort of, you know, temperature and barometer or some sort of, like, it's probably like a GPS kind of thing where wherever you are, it can tell you what the temperature is or whatever the surroundings are or wherever you are. I'm imagining something like that. What you'd like it to have is something like Google Maps, but I bet the screen is too small for that kind of thing. But
yeah, right.
You'd want something that could help you get around, because that's always what, you know, that always seemed like what they were using the tricorder for. Scanning things and you looking around at stuff.
Yeah, right. Holding it up in front of you with the, you know, with the strap around your neck.
And pointing off into the distance.
Exactly, you know? Yeah. Uh-huh.
That way is the way we go.
I want it to be used for whatever plot contrivance I need it for in that particular moment.
I would love it if it had Google Maps on it, you know? If you could walk around assuming we ever get to walk around outside again. If you could walk around outside with your tricorder and just be like, follow me, I know the way to the Ralphs, you know? That'd be great.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the announcement also talked about, you know, it also having a voice recording function to it. You know, it wouldn't shock me if like it had like a mini cell phone kind of buried inside, because you could, mm-hmm. I mean, you could do that with a piece that large, just stick a small cell phone in there that's got some apps that lets you kind of run them through the screen of the tricorder. It wouldn't shock me if that ends up being the sort of secret behind it.
Yeah. If it somehow linked to your phone or mirrored your phone so that you could do things on it that you would ordinarily use your phone for, like, that would be cool.
Because that's what they do for the Discovery communicators. They're cell phones that have just been slotted into a housing that looks like a communicator.
Sure. So that would be cool. I mean, I'm not... Are you a memorabilia? Like, are you a collector guy? Do you collect stuff?
I do. I collect books and those Eagle Moss ships. And I also have a collection of screen used props from the...
Oh, that's cool. Okay. See, that I would... That's cool.
That right now is my pride and joy. The piece I just added, which I'm really, really quite pleased with, is, you know, in the Deep Space Nine briefing room, there's that big computer screen.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they would frequently have the sort of graphics up there.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I have one of those graphics now from the season 6 finale, Tears of the Prophets. It's a layout of the Chintaka system with the weapons platforms shown. And I got it, and then I got this company in China to make like a light box for it. So I got a piece of plexi and I taped the graphic to the plexi and then drop it in the light box, turn it on, and it looks like, you know, it's a display screen right off of the show. It's very cool.
Okay, you won me over with that one. Like, that's pretty good. Books don't count. So I collect all the books you want. I have a library. But I love the idea of having screen-used things, like stuff that was actually used on the show. That's very cool. I've never been much of a collector of stuff that's made, for the fan market. I don't begrudge anybody who's into it. It's just never really been my thing. But I mean, I think it looks amazing. I think $250 is kind of expensive, but I don't know if that's, because I'm not really a collector, I don't really know if that's a lot for people to spend or if that's sort of on par with what people usually spend, but it seemed kind of expensive to me. But again, I guess it'll depend on what it does.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think ultimately it will depend on what the functionality of the piece is.
If it does your taxes, it's probably worth the $250, but...
That would be cool. Just, have all, your W-2 and your receipts out on the table and just sort of wave your tricorder over it. And then all of a sudden you get an email from, TurboTax saying your taxes have been submitted. That'd be pretty nice.
I mean, that's worth the money, right? There.
Well, we will have to wait and see from the wand company as to what kind of functionality they have from the tricorder. But I know this is a piece that folks who are prop collectors and prop replica collectors have been asking a lot for, because the communicator and the phaser that they did were very, very well received when those came out over the last couple of years.
Yeah, you need the complete set if you're going to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Full landing party.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we've talked about the facts. And now let's speculate on what's going to happen in the future of Star Trek.
You make some very good points, Captain. But it's still all speculation and theory.
So each week, I and my guest give you a wish or theory we're nurturing about Picard, Discovery, Lower Decks, Strange New Worlds, merchandise, etc., future of the franchise. So Matt, let's hear your theory or wish for this week.
Okay, my theory for the week is that they are going to, at the end of Discovery Season 3, they're going to announce that they're going to do two more seasons of Discovery. That's my theory.
Interesting. You think they'll wait until the end of the season?
Yeah, I think they will. I don't know why I think that, but I know that there's a lot of people out there in, well, maybe not a lot, a vocal minority of people out there who don't like the show.
Yes.
And are sort of predicting its demise on a semi-regular basis, even though they keep making it, but somehow people are convinced they're not going to keep making it. So I just feel like if they did two more seasons, it would be like a solid, it's a 5-year mission.
Yep.
Something about 5 seasons that I like as a number. So my theory is that they'll announce that they're going to do two more, and then that will be the end of Discovery.
Interesting. See, one of the theories that I have heard bandied around, so there is a entry in one of these kind of, production trade things that says that Discovery Season 4 has started pre-production, supposed to start pre-production up in Toronto last week, and that the plan is for full production and shooting to begin in October. And so one of the theories I have heard is that part of the scheduling for Discovery Season 3 is so that they can immediately announce alongside the premiere of the show that it's been picked up for a fourth season, and that fourth season shooting is now underway. Obviously that will all be dependent on COVID-19, but Toronto has done a pretty bang up job of getting its COVID-19 numbers under control. So, and I know that there is some production in Canada has restarted on TV production. So you could theoretically see them being able to hold that date and for Discovery Season 4 to go in front of the cameras in now just a couple of months. And for them, the new season starts, and then they very quickly thereafter say, and it's coming back for a fourth season.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are much more plugged into this than I, because I didn't know any of that. But I guess what I would like them to do is, I like it when TV shows announce in advance that they're going to do two more seasons and then call and then end it,
Yeah.
I like it when shows have sort of an end game in mind. Plus, it would just be nice to sort of put to rest all of the people who are like, this show's in danger of getting canceled any minute now, And if they just flat came out and said, look, we're doing 6 seasons, it would just kind of shut everybody up, which I think is what I really want. I think, yes, this is all about me just wanting those people to stop doing what they're doing.
I enjoy nothing more than any time there is a new announcement about new shows that the vocal minority of internet trolls have said is definitely not happening, and then it turns out to happen.
Yeah, they'll never do that. That's a terrible idea.
Exactly.
And then, like, the next day, they're like, we're doing it. It's a great idea.
Right. Yeah, no way is a third season of Discovery happening. No way is a fourth season of Discovery happening. No way is a second season of Picard happening, and then it all ends up coming true.
Yeah, I don't know. It's people need new hobbies.
Yes, they do. Well, my theory this week is actually a listener submission, and this comes from not too far away, Mr. Jim Morehouse, the host of the Trek Ranks podcast right here on the Tricorder Transmissions podcast network. And his theory is around Lower Decks. And his theory is that Lower Decks episodes will feature the episode titles right after the opening credits, just like original series, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise did. But it's a custom that has fallen out of habit for recent Star Trek, Discovery, and Picard do not have the episode names appear on screen at any point during the episode. So Jim's theory is that they are going to reach back into the history of Star Trek and pull that little convention back into the present, and that the opening credits will end and then the episode title will pop up just as it would for an episode of The Next Generation. And given everything we've seen to date about this show and the way that it clearly revels in and seems to love the quote-unquote Berman era of Star Trek shows, I think this theory might not be too far from the truth. Matt, what do you think? Do you think we're going to see the episode titles?
I love that theory. I hope that's right, because that is great. I wish I had thought of that. I was sitting here thinking, what's my theory? He's going to ask me what my theory is. And I had a hard time thinking of one today, Alex. That's great. I really hope they do that. There's something really charming about getting the episode title right at the front. You know, it's like, it makes me think of childhood television shows where they used to do it all the time, not just Star Trek, but, you know, all TV shows used to do that kind of thing. And there's something kind of delightful about it. I hope that's true.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly do seem to be sort of pulling on the, you know, nostalgia strings in a lot of different places, to the point you made earlier, you know, around like that shot from the trailer of the bar and everybody's holding, you know, glasses that are the same shapes as the glasses from The Next Generation, and the waiters mm-hmm. wearing that kind of funky green checkered outfit that the 10 forward waiters wore in The Next Generation. You know, they clearly have, like, unlike Discovery and Picard, where, you know, and this is not a criticism of those shows, but anytime they have reached back into nostalgia, it is like hard fought. And oftentimes there are, you know, some changes to it, like the Enterprise, for example. But it does seem like Lower Decks is just much more kind of ready to just do like, nope, we're just going to show you something, and it's going to look exactly the way that it did, you know, in the 1990s. And it's animation, so who cares? And doing something like the episode title seems to me to be exactly in the same kind of line as that.
Yeah, so instead of Picard, which was the past is full of like bitter regret and remorse, this is more like, hey, the past. Remember when the past was fun and we all were enjoying ourselves?
Exactly.
The whole idea of Lower Decks is really charming, that it's about the sort of scrubs who, you know, who never get their stories told. And it made me think of, there's this really good episode of This American Life where they spent time on an aircraft carrier. They got to like embed on an aircraft carrier, and they were just doing stories about what's it like to live on an aircraft carrier, which is essentially, you know, a giant floating city in the middle of the ocean. And one of the people they interviewed was a woman whose entire job on this aircraft carrier was to refill the vending machines on all the different levels and areas of, you know, these aircraft carriers are vast.
Yep.
And they have a lot of vending machines. And that was her full-time gig, like 8 hours a day refilling the vending machines. And she could not have been happier, by the way. They interviewed her, I think maybe sort of thinking she was going to say something like, well, this is not really what I signed up for when I, you know, joined the Navy. But she was like, it's great. Everybody loves me. Everybody's happy to see me because they want to know, you know, what snacks do I have this week? And sometimes I have Starbursts. And when I have Starbursts, they get really happy because everybody loves Starbursts. She's like, I'm the most popular person on the ship. It's a great job. And it was just a funny piece because you don't really think about the fact that that's a thing that somebody has to do.
Right.
Somebody has to do that as their job on an air in the Navy. And Lower Decks kind of reminds me of that. You know, we're going to see what cleaning the holodecks looks like. A subject that people have had a lot of speculation about over the years. So that's going to be, I think it's just going to be really charming to see what life is like for the other half on a starship.
Yeah, I cannot wait to sort of, you know, see a new slice of life of this franchise as a whole and hopefully laugh a bunch along the way.
Yep.
Do you have a theory or a wish for Discovery, Picard, Lower Decks, or the future of the franchise that you'd like to share? Tweet them to me at Weekly Trek, and I might feature your theory in a future episode. Well, that's all the time we've got for this episode of Weekly Trek. Thank you so much to my guest, Matt McClendon, for joining me today. Matt, how can people contact you if they want to continue the conversation?
I host a podcast called Warped, the completely unnecessary Star Trek podcast, where we do live audio commentaries, DVD audio commentary style of episodes. We watch the episode and talk along while we're watching it, Mystery Science Theater style. You can find that on Apple iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at HostWarped. My Twitter feed is a combination of nerdy sci-fi things, gay stuff, and lefty politics. So if any of those subjects appeal to you, give me a follow. And thank you very much for having me back on, Alex. I really enjoyed it.
Of course, it was my absolute pleasure. And you can find this show on Twitter at Weekly Trek and me at Alexander T. Perry. And if you enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast player of choice. And please check out some of the other great shows on the Tricorder Transmissions. And if you like our shows, please also consider becoming a Patreon of Tricorder, which you can find at patreon.com/thetricordertransmissions. And lastly, if you're looking for Star Trek news on the internet, I hope you will turn to trekcore.com. Well, thank you, Matt. Thank you to all of my listeners. And until next week, live long and prosper.